Good morning to you all. This is Brother Wilmer again with the morning devotional. I greet you all in the name of Jesus here this morning. Got a few thoughts again here in Isaiah 53:9. I'd like to share with you all. It says, "And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." It says here in John 19:38, "And after this Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, he sought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, within was never man yet laid. There they laid Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." In 1 John 3:5, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." The other mornings I had mentioned about the humble and the meek way that Jesus came and walked through this earth. He lived amongst his own creation. He allowed his own creation to nail him to the cross. He came to, one of the reasons that he came is to conquer the death, grave, and hell. And the other thing is he came to show us the Father. He came to show us, and in this chapter here, if we can see the lowliness and the humility that our God and our Father truly does walk in, and when we compare that to our lives and see the pride in our lives, or when we compare that to our lives, it really is a sobering thought in how Jesus would have had the power to, he could have easily walked out of all this suffering. He could have avoided it all. He would have had the power to not go through this. And yet, when we really look at it, would that have been power? Or was it power? Was it power that he had the humility enough to go through this. I think if we really think about it, this was power beyond any other power. To be able to walk through this, the when so many times the world doesn't realize that within a person that lives for Christ, yes, there's many things that they can do to a person on the outside, but the power that's on the inside cannot be destroyed. And it's a beautiful thing if we think about it. In Isaiah 10, says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." In Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." 1 John 4:9. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have life, or that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 7:27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 10:10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away the sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice of sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews 13:10-11-12. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought in the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Talking about humility, I'm not sure what to make out of those last couple of verses. This is just my own thought. I'm not sure if maybe if this would be studied out, we could see for sure if this was true or not. But looking at this, just to think that Jesus, in all the humility that he walked in, didn't even have the right to die in Jerusalem. They took him outside and up in a hill. They didn't take him in secret, but they crucified him up on a hill where all could see. He was the creator of the earth. He was the creator of all mankind. He was the creator of the wood that they used to make the cross, to nail him on. He was the creator of the nails. He was creator of the materials that were used to make the hammers that drove in the nails. And then he was crucified, he was crucified upon a hill outside as a thief, as a robber, on top of a hill. He was born like it, as it looked like out of wedlock. He died looking like a thief, yet he just allowed all this to happen. I just really have to ask myself, where would I be in this situation? What would my reaction be? I guess a plea just rises up in my heart here this morning. Let us be sure of who our Savior is. Let us be sure of the rock that we stand on. And let us hold on and stand still, know where we stand, so that whatever may come, that we can just endure it patiently, knowing where we stand. There's one thing about Jesus here. He truly knew where he stood. Do we know today where we stand? Do we really know where? Do I really know where I stand, to the point that when I would be used that way, that I could just endure it? It just really brings a challenge to me here this morning, even as I read through this and speak through this. I see the necessity of knowing where we stand, so that when suffering and persecution comes along, that we realize that this is what Jesus spoke of there in the one place where he said, "For all who shall live godly will suffer persecution." So let us take heart. We've had this example in front of us, and he came to show us the Father. And when that glorious day comes, when we stand before our Lord the Savior, that we will know him and that he will know us. May you have a wonderful day in the Lord Jesus. Be encouraged, brother and sister.